You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat. The ball is free. Denver's got it. Touchdown, Denver.
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Short motion, Eddie Royal. Tim, play fakes in the pocket, sets, throws, pass, caught, Demaryius Thomas, out on the 45, midfield, here we go, 40, 35, foot race, 20, 15, 10, touchdown, Denver, it's over, it's over in Denver.
Unbelievable, 2012, Demaryius Thomas and Tim Tebow hook up on this day for a touchdown in overtime that gives the Denver Broncos a 29-23 victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC wildcard round. Denver went on to lose to the Patriots in the divisional round the following week, but I tell you what, it was a very monumentous moment in Broncos country. The season that the Denver Broncos had, the Tim Tebow magic, it was all crazy, and that play was a prime example of Broncos country, and that's what made us believe in mile-high magic. Tim Tebow mania was running wild. Tebow did a lot of great game-winning drives and turned it on late in games. But that moment right there in playoff history was very, very special. Obviously, Denver knocking off Ben Roethlisberger and Emmanuel Sanders at the time, who was one of Big Ben's favorite targets. He's now a Denver Bronco, obviously. But that is your Broncos on this day, January 8th, 2012. Unbelievable. Definitely good times, good memories. Brings a lot of good feelings back. This is your host, Cody Rourke, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Broncos. Now, before we get into what tonight's show entails for all of you guys, I just want to take the time to tell all of you listeners, thank you so much for all the well wishes and all the kind words that you guys sent my way during the time of, unfortunately, losing my brother at an early age of 23. Very difficult, but you know what? The amount of support and love that I received from all of you guys meant the absolute world to me. People from all over the community, it was unbelievable. So on behalf of myself to all of you guys, thank you guys. I love you guys. The show must go on, though. So today, on today's episode of Locked On Broncos, we have a great lineup in store for you guys. Obviously, we're going to talk about the NFL Wild Card Weekend. We're going to talk about the games, the scores, go over it, and obviously look ahead to tonight's college football game. Obviously, some potential Broncos prospects that the Denver Broncos could be looking at that are going to be playing in tonight's national championship game. A lot of NFL draft prospects, regardless, on both sides. You know, the Georgia's dynamic running duo. Fitzpatrick off of Alabama, defensively, offensively. It's just, this is a fun game to watch. It's going to be smash mouth football. Two very good defenses in college football. And obviously, Jake Fromm, the young freshman out of Georgia, he's got his hands full tonight against Alabama's defense. Can they shake him, or can he obviously rise to the occasion once again and prove that it doesn't matter, he's a freshman, he can make things happen? That's what we're going to throw at you guys all here today on Locked On Broncos. Obviously, not a lot of news in the Denver Broncos front of things, obviously due to the offseason and obviously the playoffs that are going on. The Denver Broncos are on the outside looking in, and unfortunately, the offseason for the Denver Broncos, this is going to be a long one, but we're going to have you covered here at Locked On Broncos with all the latest news, so be sure to stay on top of that by following the show on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL and at Locked On Broncos. We get a lot of good discussions, a lot of poll discussions. Twitter Tuesday is tomorrow here on Locked On Broncos. Don't forget to check that out, as well as Wednesday. We got Draft Wednesday and obviously my bookie on Thursday. It's going to be a fun week over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. Before we get into our first topic of the day, I want to take the time to tell you guys to go check out Matt Williamson's Locked On NFL. He's got the latest news and analysis from around the National Football League, bringing that to you here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And my man Adam Mattis over at Locked On Nuggets, who covers the Denver Nuggets over at Denver Stiffs, he brings you the latest news. Obviously, every 10 games, you get an idea for where the team is at with the pulse of the team after 10 games, so that's definitely a good thing. Obviously, Nikola Jokic back. The Nuggets just had a very tough loss on the road at Sacramento, where they had committed a season high in turnovers that led to obviously 40 points off of turnovers, and Sacramento went on to win the game. Very frustrating. Jamal Murray played very hard, but Adam Mata's over there at Locked On Nuggets has you covered with all of those news and tidbits over there at the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you Locked On Nuggets, part of the Locked On NBA channel. So let's dive right into our first topic of the day. Obviously, NFL playoffs, wild card weekend. I don't know. I was pretty entertained. Now, there were some games, and obviously the Bills and the Jaguars game was one of those games where we're just sitting there kind of, man, this is playoff football. These two teams are here in the playoffs, and I will talk about that here in just a moment, but first, let's talk about the Tennessee Titans knocking off the AFC West divisional rival, Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs in this game were up 21-3 at halftime. They scored a touchdown with 3 seconds left in the second quarter. Obviously, heading into halftime, they had all the momentum, and the Titans couldn't get anything going offensively. And the defense for the Chiefs, you know, they did a pretty good job in the first half getting to Marcus Mariota. And obviously, Derek Johnson with a huge blow-up hit. And that obviously was a sack. It led to a very controversial forward progress call. And I don't know what forward progress is anymore, but Jeff Triplett had the call there. But the Tennessee Titans found themselves down 21-3 at halftime and battled back. Marcus Mariota threw a touchdown pass to himself. Unbelievable. That was the tide of the game. It almost reminded you of when Andrew Luck fumbled the ball against the Chiefs in the playoffs in 2014, picked it up and scored anyways. And this time, Marcus Mariota threw it. It was batted down. He caught it, and then obviously he ran and scored, you know, for the touchdown. Derrick Henry had a huge game, gashing the Chiefs' defense, running for well over 150 yards, and obviously that was a big play. The Chiefs in the second half, I don't get what it was. Obviously coming up with a 21-3 lead at halftime, you want to come out and you want to establish a run. Run the clock down. Well, they didn't really give Kareem Hunt the ball. He only carried it 5 total times in the second half, I believe. And that's just not a formula for winning, especially when you're up in the National Football League. The Chiefs ended up not scoring. They got shut out in the second half, and the Titans came back roaring for a 22-21 win. And I tell you what, the play of the game, if you go back and you watch the film, Marcus Mariota, it's late in the drive. Obviously, you know, Kansas City has some timeouts. They have one timeout left. Marcus Mariota gives the ball to Derrick Henry and then runs and throws a block. And Darrelle Revis, obviously, on the outside, didn't have very good effort. Derrick Henry runs like a madman, picks up the first down, and all the Titans have to do at this point is take a knee, and they did, and they're advancing. They're advancing to take on the New England Patriots next week, and man, and that's a tough matchup for the Titans, but the Titans are fighting. The Titans' defense is actually pretty solid. Now, they're going to have a tough matchup here, obviously covering Rob Gronkowski, Danny Amendola, Chris Hogan, Deion Lewis, James White, a lot of different weapons that Tom Brady has to throw to, and for the Chiefs, unfortunately, losing Travis Kelce in the second quarter to a concussion, I think, is what played a big part in undoing them a little bit. They couldn't get the ball into Tyreek Hill's hands, and Demetrius Harris dropped a couple passes, but they just got a little too much pass happy in the second half, and the Chiefs needed to run the clock out, run the ball. So the Chiefs made the playoffs, but first round exit. So can't say that I'm not feeling bad for them, you know, because they're an in-division rival, but it's just crazy to see that, you know, they dropped the lead at 21-3, and obviously the Titans came back and they won, and the Titans took it. They took it completely. And then obviously the game that I was really looking forward to the most this weekend outside of the Panthers and Saints game was the Falcons and the Rams. Now, the Falcons defeated the Rams 26-13 in L.A., and there's a lot of stories to this. The Rams, they surrendered about 13 points due to special teams errors. Farrell Cooper dropped several passes, obviously several returns, and that just led to a momentum swing. And unfortunately, the Rams never recovered from that. The Falcons' defense, in my honest opinion, man, I am blown away by them. Ricardo Allen, they just play phenomenal. Deion Jones, they flow to the football. Defensively, the Atlanta Falcons are very, very disciplined. Now, a name that the Denver Broncos and fans might want to look out for in the next year or so is obviously a guy by the name of Marquand Manuel, the defensive coordinator for the Falcons. He might be a guy that could be a head coaching candidate at some point, but the way he had the defense playing against the Rams, against the NFL's highest scoring offense, was phenomenal. Now, the field conditions were terrible at LA Coliseum, and it just didn't seem like, you know, they had a very good home field advantage. The Rams did, and the defense played well for the Rams for the most part, but overall, turnovers, finding yourself in a deficit, and the offense not being able to score the ball, that was definitely a big hindrance in terms of the Rams having success. And the Falcons' game plan, realistically, obviously getting a lead, well, that takes Todd Gurley out of the game as a runner. They did very well, in my opinion, on certain drives of stopping Todd Gurley in the run game. They sniffed out the screen passes very well. But I think the thing that we looked at is that was the game plan. They wanted to make Jared Goff come out and have to throw the ball to, you know, Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins and all their different receiving threats that they have. And at the end of the day, the Falcons executed defensively, and I'll tell you what, but their gap integrity was sound, and that led to them winning 26-13. Obviously, heading into Philadelphia next week for the divisional round against the Eagles. That's going to be a very tough game on the road in the cold, but Matt Ryan and the Falcons are battle-tested now. They're ready, and they played very well on the road against the Rams. So, you know, they're trying to get back to the Super Bowl. Ideally, they probably want to see the Patriots again. But you know what? The AFC's got some tough ones here. You know, with the Steelers and the Patriots, I think those are the two teams that it's going to crumble down to in the AFC Championship. You know, there's not a lot of challenge after that. But the NFC, man, I tell you what, is very talented. You got the Falcons, Eagles, Saints, and Vikings. Now, the Saints were, you know, they played phenomenal against Cam Newton and the Panthers. Now, defensively, the Saints were pretty solid most of the game. They gave up several big plays. Christian McCaffrey really broke a quick catch and run, and he broke it for about 56, 60 yards for a score. But, you know, Marshawn Lattimore played very well for the New Orleans Saints, and I tell you what, he's a very promising young rookie. He had the matchup of Devin Funchess, and he did pretty well for the most part. Cam Newton really couldn't get anything going. The run game really wasn't there. They broke off several key runs, but Cam Newton is the guy that really makes the Panthers go, and when he's not in rhythm, they don't look very good. Now, the Saints, they were on their heels a little bit. The Panthers had them on the heels for a last drive. It was 4th-23, and they were in field goal range, but obviously you can't kick a field goal because you're down. You have to obviously win the game, so they were going for the end zone. And 4th-23, the Saints defense got to Cam Newton right away and wrapped him up, grabbed him, and it was a sack. It was game over. Drew Brees, however, the offense for the Saints played phenomenally. Now, what's really going to, you know, impact their matchup going into the divisional round against the Vikings is their injuries to the offensive line. They lost Pete to a, their guard Andrews Pete to a fractured fibula. That's tough. That, you know, they got to find a way, especially against a very good Vikings team, where you have to travel to Minnesota and you have to play them. That's unbelievable. So they have to get ready for that. Drew Brees was phenomenal. Threading the needle to Michael Thomas. I like this guy. Like I said, I triggered a lot of Patriots fans on Twitter yesterday by saying Drew Brees is one of the last good guys that we really have in the NFL at the quarterback position that reminds you a lot of Peyton Manning. So that has to discount for something. Obviously, I'm not going to spend too much time here talking about the Bills and the Jaguars game because that was just an uneventful game. And it was like, man, this is playoff football. No, it really wasn't. It was an ugly game. Tyrod Taylor had a chance late to drive the Bills down the field and obviously have a chance for them to score. But he got knocked out of the game with a concussion, and Nate Peterman came in. He converted a 4th-3 with his legs for, you know, first down, fumbled the ball out of bounds. The next play, he throws it, and it's targeted and picked off by Jalen Ramsey. It was controversial. You know, what's a catch anymore? I have no idea. I really have no idea. But that sealed it. That sealed the 10-3 victory, and the Jacksonville Jaguars move on to play Pittsburgh next week, and that will have Antonio Brown back on the field. That's big. That's big for the Steelers, who definitely need him. But obviously, Juju Smith-Schuster is a big guy for Big Ben to throw the ball to. Obviously, outside of Martavis Bryant and Jesse James and Le'Veon Bell being healthy, I expect the Steelers to come away with this one. I'm taking the Falcons on the road against the Eagles. I'm taking the Patriots and an easy win at home over the Titans. And then I'm going to take the Saints with a last-second field goal over the Vikings to advance them to the AFC and NFC Conference Championships. And that's going to determine after that here in 2 weeks who goes to the Super Bowl. So very excited to cover the playoff football. Obviously, I wish the Denver Broncos were in it, but they're not. So, I miss it. I miss it. Obviously, we missed, you know, Von Miller, you know, taking apart Big Ben, and then Von Miller going on to take apart Tom Brady in the playoffs, and then Cam Newton destroying him in Super Bowl 50 to, you know, become the MVP of the Super Bowl. You know, I miss the Denver Broncos being in the playoff picture because it's usually a different discussion, and that's how we have to really look at these playoff games. Now, if you look at the playoff games based on the regular season, well, you might set yourself up for some disappointment, and I almost did that. I did that in my first two picks. I went 2-2. I predicted that the Chiefs were going to win, and I predicted that the Rams were going to win, and I was wrong in both, but I got the Jaguars and the Saints predictions right, so I went 2-for-2. I'm hoping to go perfect next week in the divisional round, but tweet me what your picks were. I know we had a very good discussion over at Cody Rourke NFL, but I want to hear more about you guys. I want to hear more about your picks for obviously the divisional round weekend, so tweet those at me at Cody Rourke NFL. So let's dive into, obviously, the college football picture. Now, Georgia and Alabama play each other today, and I'm excited about this matchup because, like I said, there are a ton of NFL prospects in this matchup for both teams. One potential option, I don't know if it's highly likely, though, because we don't really know what the situation is, but if the Denver Broncos decided to move on from Aqib Talib, obviously a guy who may be available at pick number 5 is Minkah Fitzpatrick, a cornerback out of Alabama. Now, he's a big guy. He's a 6'1", 205-pound junior. He's a hybrid-type player. He reminds me a lot of, not Reuben Foster, but he's a lot leaner than Reuben Foster. He plays like Reuben Foster. He's a lot leaner. He's a hybrid-type player. He's very good as a cornerback, and he could be a guy that the Denver Broncos choose at number 5 if the Broncos decide to move on from Aqib Talib. Now, that's something we have to look at. Now, a guy I really like that I'm a huge fan of in this game is obviously inside linebacker Roquan Smith out of Georgia. Now, if you didn't watch him against Oklahoma, late in that game in the second half, he was a monster. Now, Oklahoma's up-tempo offense in the first half kind of took Roquan Smith out of the equation, and the Georgia defense really were on their heels in the first half. Luckily, their offense and their run game was really explosive with Nick Chubb and obviously Sony Michel, but Roquan Smith was a difference maker in the second half for Georgia, and he's going to have to be a big key factor for this game if the Georgia Bulldogs want to win this game against Alabama and stop them in the national championship. Obviously, going up against a very talented quarterback and a powerful run game. Now, every year, Alabama almost seems to dominate the running back position in recruiting as well as the offensive line, so Roquan Smith's got his hands full. He's a guy that could be a fit for the Denver Broncos. Let me tell you this. Now, I think the Denver Broncos have to upgrade an inside linebacker. I said this all season. Now, Todd Davis is, he played very well. He filled the run game. Obviously, it was a big, key player in stopping the run. But in pass coverage, teams really picked on Todd Davis and Brandon Marshall. Now, you got to find a complimentary guy. We saw that with Danny Trevathan in Denver. Now, when Danny Trevathan was in Denver, it allowed Brandon Marshall to be a run stopper. And Danny Trevathan was the hybrid type guy that can cover a tight end or obviously a slot guy or a running back that lines up on the outside. And Danny Trevathan was that guy. Roquan Smith is this guy. And he could be this guy for the Denver Broncos. Because once again, him and Brandon Marshall lined up on the inside is a very scary prospect. But all this really predicates on who the Denver Broncos decide to choose, at number 5. Now, like I said last week, who the Broncos choose at number 5 is all contingent upon free agency. Do they get a quarterback in free agency? Do they get a Kirk Cousins? Can they afford to get Kirk Cousins? What moves do they make? Because this really predicates how your draft is going to go. If the Denver Broncos secure Kirk Cousins, why not? A lot of talk, Denver could choose a running back like Saquon Barkley or Connor Williams. I don't know. I think there might be a good running back available in round number 2. But I think if you do get Kirk Cousins, you have to pick a defensive player. Now, you go with either Minkah Fitzpatrick if he's available, or you go with Roquan Smith, because I tell you what, this guy has a nose for the football. He reads the guards very well. He's very disciplined in his gap integrity, and he's good covering a tailback out of the backfield. We saw that late in the fourth quarter. Actually, we saw this in overtime against Oklahoma. He was unbelievable against Anderson. He covered him. It was a 3rd and 3, and Baker Mayfield went to go throw the out route to the tailback, and Roquan Smith hit him and drove him back. And I tell you what, this guy is somebody who, in my opinion, is a guy that the Denver Broncos really need to put on their list, because I tell you what, he's a very prolific guy. Now, another guy that you could look at maybe later on, I don't know if he's necessarily going to go in the first round. He has the possibility to, but Calvin Ridley, a big wide receiver for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, he's 6'1". 190 pounds. The Denver Broncos need to upgrade at wide receiver. Now, obviously, you have to figure out, are they going to re-sign Cody Latimer, who's a restricted free agent this year? What are they going to do with Benny Fowler? Obviously, an exclusive rights free agent, Jordan Taylor. I think they're going to keep him around. But the Denver Broncos may benefit from moving Demaryius Thomas a little bit on the outside to the inside a little bit, from being an outside receiver, obviously, in situations and certain formations, to moving him as the number 3 receiver or the number 2 receiver inside the slot based on Bill Musgrave's system. Now, you watch how the Atlanta Falcons utilize Julio Jones. Demaryius Thomas could be that guy that benefits specifically from being able to move around and be a little more dynamic going against smaller nickel corners or inside linebackers. Demaryius Thomas could find a resurgence in his career there. And obviously, you have Emmanuel Sanders, a guy who is, you know, couldn't stay healthy this year. He suffered that injury against the Giants, and it kind of hindered him all year. But the Denver Broncos need another weapon down the field, and I think that they're going to have a weapon at Jake Butt at tight end next year. And obviously, he was shut down this year, recovering from ACL surgery, but he's a guy, in my opinion, that could be a guy as a weapon for the Denver Broncos at tight end. But why not look at Calvin Ridley if you get a chance to? I tell you what, he's a very, very impressive guy for the Alabama Crimson Tide, and he's a player that we need to watch, obviously, here tonight in the national championship game that kicks off at 6 o'clock p.m. on ESPN. Don't miss it. Get your pizza order at all and check out all the action for tonight's national championship game. Now, I tell you what, this is a tough game. You look at Alabama's defense, the notoriety of it, year in and year out, they dominate the recruiting class. But Georgia, man, I tell you what, there's something about Georgia, in my opinion, that makes them the wild card in this matchup. Now, we look at how Clemson was last year against Alabama. Most people thought that Alabama was going to roll Clemson last year. Now, Clemson had a very impressive win last year in the playoffs against Ohio State. And now that, you know, they went on to win in the final seconds against Alabama. Now, I think that Georgia, a lot that's going to ride on this game for Georgia in terms of them having success. Obviously, you have to find the perfect balance between running and throwing the football. Now, they have that guy with Jake Fromm who can throw the ball when you need him to throw it. He's very smart. He really doesn't crack a lot under pressure. This is going to be Jake Fromm, a true freshman. His biggest test for Georgia is against this Alabama defense. Now, why not just start off the game running the ball with Michelle and obviously Chubb. Get the run game going. You're going to be tested by Alabama's inside linebackers. And obviously their DBs really flow the ball. They play a lot of hybrid nickel defense as well. But you have to really have a balance in the run pass game because their defensive backs are just as good. Fitzpatrick is going to shadow some of your top receivers. You have to be able to throw the ball against Alabama. If you can't throw the ball against Alabama and they shut down the run, it's going to be a long day for Georgia. Georgia just has to come in. Jake Fromm, be as confident as you've been all year, especially how you looked against Notre Dame. Come in, throw the football well on third down if you have to. If it's a third and three, find the open spot. The receiver's going to sit in that open zone. You got to take advantage of it. Don't turn the ball over. Georgia did a very good job last week and really not turning the ball over. They had the one turnover for a touchdown late in the game that gave Oklahoma some hope late in the game as well. So you really have to look at things from a different perspective here. It's the national championship, the biggest game of college football all year, and I think we're going to see a very good game. My prediction is Georgia 31, Alabama 28, and in this game, Georgia goes on to win the national championship. Jake Fromm is going to be the unsung hero in this game. True freshman quarterback. The storyline doesn't get any bigger than that, so I'm definitely excited about that. Be sure to tweet me your college football national championship game predictions here on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos, at Cody Rourke NFL. We're going to have some more Broncos news for you guys, obviously. We're going to cover the AFC divisional playoffs this week here on Locked On Broncos, and we're going to keep you covered with whatever Denver Broncos news decides to show up this week. I know I'm excited. I'm eager to see what the offseason is going to look like for the Denver Broncos. I'm excited. I hope you guys are as well. We're going to have you covered with every single thing possible over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. Over here, Locked On Broncos, part of the Locked On NFL branch. Like I said, go to iTunes, leave a review, a 5-star review. Tell us why you love the show and leave your Twitter handle. When you do that, you'll be automatically entered every single month into the Locked On Broncos monthly contest giveaway over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. Once again, follow me on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL. I just want to say thank you guys for listening to another episode of Locked On Broncos. We'll be back tomorrow with the latest news, analysis, and updates across the National Football League and the Denver Broncos right here. Same platform. And also a very special announcement. Locked On Broncos is now available on Spotify. If you're a Spotify user, you can now find all the Locked On Podcast Network shows. Locked On NFL, Locked On NBA, and of course, Locked On Broncos is now part of the Spotify network. Very exciting news. Very excited to see us branching out in all these different avenues and big platforms. You can check us out over there at Spotify, as well as iTunes, Megaphone, and wherever you get your podcasts. Locked On Broncos is being brought to you by Locked On Podcast Network. So this is your host, Cody Rourke, saying good night and go Broncos.